the reason why I came here in 1995 was hurricanes. I've got to walk all the beaches throughout the state of Florida, Miami, St. Augustine, all the Gulf of America. And I've walked these beautiful beaches looking at damages.
So this is Patrick Garrett. He's somebody I had never heard of before. He was speaking at the Tourism Development Council when they were considering the prospect of funding beach renourishment for Pensacola Beach. He's been 30 years working as a public adjuster, and he says, I have been all over the place looking at damage from hurricanes. I decided to relocate here for a variety of reasons, but he says,
the line of defense in a storm is the water coming in that wall of water. The further it has to travel, the less devastation it's going to do. The cross is still there on Fort Pickens. 1995, it didn't move, and it didn't move in Ivan, and it didn't move in Sally either. That just goes to show whatever you've been doing it right.
So the question about beach renourishment was up for a discussion, and it's going to be expensive. It's going to be $36 million to renourish Pensacola Beach. It's been 10 years. And before that, it had been 10 years. And before that, it had been like 2 to 3 years. So it was done in, and, you know, kudos to City Councilwoman Jen Brayer for doing a little bit of the history on this.
In 2002, 2003, you refurbished.
I believe that's correct.
Renourished. It is.
Renourished. Yes, ma'am.
I'll use your word.
It's called nourish.
By the way, she's quibbling over the term. She does not like renourishment as a concept. She actually voted against it. She was, I think, the only one who voted against it. Because she's not sure that it really solves the problem long term and actually can tend to make it worse, her view. Also, I think for environmental concerns and also because of what she thinks has been done historically with regard to the dune line. And then also she raised a question about fishing. And it is definitely bad for the fishermen. You know, when you renourish, it destroys their fishing holes. It makes the pier less functional because, you know, the stuff that you would normally fish on is not there anymore. Anyway, so she's going to, but that's for later. This is now just kind of the history. Again, 2002, 2003, and then Ivan.
Renourishment. Yes, ma'am.
I don't think it's nourishing. So
I understand your concern.
But then in 2005, 2006, Ivan hits, and you have to do it right away again. So that's not even 2 full years before it had to be done again. So we did it 2002, 3, 2005, 6. Then we made the 10-year gap from 2015 to 16.
That's correct.
So, and now we're at 10 again.
That's correct.
I mean, technically, I think it was 3 years after Ivan, but it doesn't matter. It's fine. You know, in terms of the gap there between when they did the first time and the second time. And it's been 10 years since, so it was 2 gaps of 10 years. And the cost is a lot, and the cost has gone up. What's interesting about this is that the justice for who should pay for it question was very much on the TDC's mind because Mike Burns and Ashley Hoffberger were both saying, like, look, it's kind of like, and even Rhonda Dorfman, who's with Pensacola Beach Advocates, like, why would you make the residents of the island pay for something that the entire county benefits from? This should be an entire county project, so it shouldn't just be SRIA money, which they've got about $13 million between, I think there's a $3 million from the county pledge and then $10 million from them, so it's $10 million of their money. But they had to pay back a loan previously with interest from the county? So the county was charging a subsidiary of the county interest on a loan to build the beach that we all enjoy? I mean, this is weird, like, Twilight Zone-y kind of stuff. Anyway, Rhonda Dorfman with the Pensacola Beach Advocates.
It would only be appropriate that tourist development tax funds be used for beach renourishment. In fact, both the UWF football request and the John Jones complex are so desirable for people to come here because we are close to the beach. You want to go to Birmingham or do you want to come to Pensacola? Without our beaches, Pensacola would just be any other city in the panhandle or, as someone earlier said, Dothan, Alabama.
No offense to Dothan, but offense to Dothan. I mean, you know, they don't have the beach, and that's the point. You wouldn't spend $2 million of tourism money on the UWF stadium, except that people are going to come here for both the game and the beach. You wouldn't spend $25 million, and again, I have my questions about this, turfing the 9 Mile fields for the county if you didn't have the beach to draw people in. All of this stuff depends on the beach. And so taking care of the beach is a key priority for all of the other money that we generate, right? And so it's the obvious thing that it makes sense to use the money generated from the beach in order to keep the beach the thing that makes it the beach, that makes people want to come here. Ray Kessler, who is the Chamber of Commerce for Pensacola Beach chair.
This beach is our common ground, and in every community, common areas are shared and maintained collectively, and Pensacola Beach is no different. It's everyone's beach. It deserves everyone's investment.
And that makes sense to me, too. It is the biggest public park we have in the area, you know, that we all get to enjoy, and miles and miles and miles of public access to a beautiful beach. We all benefit from it, the whole county, both in terms of tourism, both in terms of jobs, and also in terms of just having access to it. So again, the way it was done before was kind of wild. Mike Burns talking about this again.
This Mike Burns on this, you know, the people that generate the money, you're going to make...
Sorry, he's the SRIA executive director. I think I played some clips from him earlier in the show and I didn't explain now. But anyway, he's the executive director of SRIA.
Going to make the people that generate the money have to borrow the money from you and then pay it back with interest. Because we borrowed, I think it was like 8.5, and then we paid back 7% interest on top of that money. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous for the people that generate the money to have to borrow the money so everybody else can make money.
Shame on Grover for having to make you do that, making you guys do that. Fortunately, we have a much better commissioner now in that district.
Ouch, that's Ashley Hoffberger now. It had been Robert Bender for a while, but he didn't have to do renourishment. And, of course, before that, you had Grover. And that was a weird deal, I will say. That's a weird deal for the county to put money into beach renourishment that then the SRIA has to pay back with interest. With interest. I mean... super weird. That's a weird one for sure. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Get your yard spring ready with $100 off your first treatment with the new annual contract. Call Insect today. Still dealing with that accident that happened on University Parkway and Davis Highway. And let's see here. The turn lane to the hospital is blocked, so just be aware of that. Starting to see some delays on Davis Highway affecting your drive. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide what to get, where to go, who to ask, hey, ask Frontier. You say, well, aren't they going to try to sell me a car? I mean, okay, but they also are experts, and they understand that people don't like the pressure and the hassle of buying cars, and so they get that. So you can ask them, hey, what kind of cars hold their value? What kind of cars are getting a lot of mileage? What kind of cars are needing a lot of repairs? What kind of features on these cars do people like or dislike? What features do they buy but then turn off because they don't like them? You know, that happens enough, right? Or what do people complain about? You know, one of the things that you can do with Frontier is, you know, you're going to see your dozen or two dozen cars in your life that you drive, and they're going to see hundreds, even thousands of cars, and you can ask them. You know, it's my perception that these cars hold their value well. They'll tell you. It's, you know, well, is there something surprising in the market? They'll tell you. I mean, just think of them as an ally, as a resource, as kind of guidance as opposed to as the adversary. And you can tell them I said so. You know, and you can even tell them, look, I kind of have been reluctant to do this because it's hard for me to believe that anybody would sincerely help me. That's a used car dealer. But Andrew says, so prove me wrong. You know, and then they will. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell him Andrew McKay says hi. All right, back to this question about beach renourishment and, you know, kind of the situation. Now, it is true, okay? It's going to be a lot of money. The SRIA has got 10. They've got 3 pledged from the county. They've got matching from the state for 13. So that makes 26 out of 36. So they need 10, 9.5. And also, TDC had been putting away $500,000 a year. So they have 2. That brings them up to, you know, 28. And then the state can match. Okay, because they can raise their match up to 15 is max. So they get to 30, a little over 30. And so they only really need 5 left to solve the problem. And one of the proposals, I kind of like Jason Nicholson, is one of the members of the TDC. He proposed we should aggressively increase our amount of money that we escrow for this every year from $500,000 to $1 million. That makes sense, because then in 10 years we'd have $10 million. Of course, in 10 years, probably going to be $40 million or $50 to renourish. But anyway, that's a start. That's good. It's kind of like what the county ought to be doing for bridges they need to replace, like the Bob Sykes Bridge or the Perdido Key Bridge, but that's another conversation for another day. Anyway, it's a smart move. We know we're going to do this now. We're going to do this again in the future. Let's start planning in that direction. So they went ahead and approved $5 million for it. Now, it is definitely pro-tourism. It is definitely the, you know, big park that we all use. There is an argument that maybe the people who live on the beach should pay something. No, they are, $10 million. And I kind of like the cost-share approach, because having the, you know, the rest of the residents, I don't mind paying some for the beach. I use the beach. I like the beach. I'm glad it's there. I don't mind paying some for that. I don't think the residents on the island should pay for all of it, or the businesses on the island should pay for all of it. But I don't mind them paying more. Why? Well, I mean, it's defending their homes. Beach Renourishment is a major defender of their homes. It's more land for the storm to cross to get to their stuff. It's also more land for the storm to cross to get to Fort Pickens Road or to get to, you know, the boardwalk or anything else. It's good for both them and for us. So I'm on board. But, you know, yes, it's defending their homes, which some people think you shouldn't build on a barrier island to begin with. We're long past that decision. I don't mind them paying more. I just don't think they ought to pay for all of it because we all share so much in it. And I really do think that, you know, Patrick Garrett, again, that's the claims adjuster who's gone around to all these beaches and he's walked the damage and he's seen, like, I think it was Mike Burns actually made the point that in Panama City Beach, when they got wiped out in Opal, really wiped out, it was bad, and then they renourished, and then after that, the most recent storm, Michael, barely damaged a lot. They were able to recover much more quickly, get open much more quickly, because why? Buffer. The sand is a buffer. So anyway, Patrick Garrett, who is the claims adjuster, I thought this was a good sort of end of conversation comment about why this is important, not just for tourism, not just for protecting the homes, not just for where should the money come from, but just in general.
If you don't renourish it and you don't spend the money now, you can make me a lot of money later when they're all so vulnerable and I come up here and work your claims. But I just want to give you my perspective. Appreciate it.
And of course, he lives here now, so he's not saying this. He's not saying make me money. He's saying I'm willing to forego that money to advocate for this thing that I know from experience really makes a difference in terms of resiliency. 721 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
The Bible records a conversation between Jesus and Peter in which Jesus asks Peter three times, "Lovest thou me?" And three times Peter responds with, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Interestingly, after each exchange, Jesus called Peter not just to declare his love with his words, but Jesus wanted Peter to demonstrate his love with his actions. Jesus is essentially saying, don't talk about it, be about it. When you read of Peter's life in the book of Acts, you see a man who, in spite of great physical discomfort, boldly demonstrates his love for Christ. Let us learn from the example of Peter and not just declare our love for Jesus with our lips, but seek opportunities to demonstrate our love for Christ to a world who desperately needs to see bold, loving, and faithful Christians.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
It's the 25th annual Crawfish Festival at Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk, May 2nd through the 4th. Come and enjoy live music from Swampland Revival, Sadie McClendon, Count the Years, Jared McConnell, and many more. Plus, be entertained by the fireworks Saturday night and lots of crawfish all weekend long. And of course, you'll want to visit the local artists along the boardwalk and enjoy the kids' crawfish race as well. It's a festival of fun for the entire family. Visit PensacolaBeachCrawfishFestival.com for more details.
The Big Bamboo!
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
I have no power, don't you understand? I need hand. I have no hand.
You break up with her.
What?
You break up with her. You reverse everything that way. A preemptive breakup.
Break it on down.
Woo!
Bless you.
Woo!
Bless you.
Woo!
Oh, bless you.
Good morning, 724 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. The other issue with the beach more recently has been the issue of the sign welcoming people to Pensacola Beach, and that's going to replace the toll plaza that's there, so it's going to be simultaneously a beautification project and also a toll collection plaza. We talked a lot about this on Friday. Our Facebook post on this subject has like 400 comments. Most of them not favorable. They're not. People don't love the design, but that's okay. And I mean, it's not okay. We're going to try to fix it. You know me, I care about aesthetics a lot. And so we're going to talk with Ashley Hoffberger, the county commissioner for District 4, coming up at 7:35, 7:40. So we will talk about that and beach renourishment and the 9 Mile Road project and a bunch of things. Saw her yesterday at Men Who Cook, which was a great event. Had a good time. Big feed, still full. Excellent. John, I don't know why you didn't come.
I didn't have a ticket.
I brought you some chicken and waffles this morning, though.
You told me you didn't.
I did. Of course I did.
No, you didn't. You told me. You told everybody else. And I was like, what about me?
I was just making fun of you. David. Oh, sorry. Let's get traffic before we go to
David.
Well,
that's really sweet of you.
You're welcome. Aww, traffic on the fives with John Pickens, who's feeling melancholy this morning.
All right, so we've got an accident with injuries on East Fairfield Drive and North Davis Highway. The road is clear, but we're starting to see some delays out of that one. University Parkway and North Davis Highway seeing some delays on Davis. The turning lane to the hospital is blocked, so just be aware of that. Other than that, we are rolling good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the U.S. and Iran are planning more nuclear talks this week after a weekend meeting in Oman. The White House described the most recent talks as being positive and productive. President Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, and Iran's foreign minister led the two delegations, with the discussions lasting about 4 hours. The number of confirmed measles cases in the U.S. Has now tripled the number seen last year. The CDC says there are almost 900 confirmed cases, 650 of those in Texas. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has announced their 2025 class of inductees. This year, that includes Outkast, Cyndi Lauper, Soundgarden, The White Stripes, Bad Company, Chubby Checker, and Joe Cocker. They'll be giving out several other special awards as well. Their induction ceremony is November 8th. Los Angeles.
Soundgarden. I don't know if you mentioned Soundgarden on that list. Bad Company is on this list. And then you get into the, you know, Salt and Pepper is getting an induction. Warren Zevon.
Though, Fish is getting snubbed.
I couldn't possibly care less.
the public voting or whatever.
Yeah.
Apparently they got the majority of the votes, but then didn't. Yeah,
I hate the smell of marijuana.
Well, yeah.
That's all I have to say about Fish. Oh, no, this is true, by the way. Come on. Nobody listens to marijuana. It's not high. Or nobody listens to Fish. It's not high.
Okay, I had to put two and two together for a second there.
It's like people say, oh, yeah, man, love the Grateful Dead. Do you smoke weed? No. Come on. There's not a single person. Not a single person who's a fan of the Grateful Dead that's not high. A lot. Now, I will say this. You know, the Governor DeSantis talked about the marijuana initiative and talked about not wanting to go around Florida and smell pot all the time. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's everywhere. And it's not even legal. I am amazed, genuinely amazed at how often when I'm walking around or biking and it's just like, well, there's that horrible smell. And it's so pungent. And I'm always thinking to myself, do these people not realize? Do they not care?
Their noses just
They're
not
completely
work.
Destroyed yeah. nasal passages. I don't know. Anyway, so that's just a side note. But yeah, sorry, your fish thing is...
Well, it's not my fish thing. It's part of the story.
You brought it up, Stoner.
Oh, come on.
Sorry.
Cough. Oh, you're the one over there coughing.
I know.
Good,
and
like
then
that.
Okay, so this is going to either make me look dumb or probably just make me look dumb. Then you get the Musical Excellence Award. This is a part of the induction, the Sidemen Award, and these are names that I am sure somebody knows these people, but these are all gig players, backup players, additional sessions, whatever. Tom Bell, Nicky Hopkins, Carol Kaye, Ahmet Erdogan. Oh, that's the award. Sorry, and Lenny Waronker is the other one in there, but. I was like, yeah, I don't know any of these people. They're certainly not Cyndi Lauper. So, David, thank you for giving me a reason to make fun of all kinds of things. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, that's what I'm here for.
You're doing your best. I appreciate it. Oh, man. Hey, if you want a beautiful, lush lawn, you know, without any weeds coming up... See, this summer, NSEC, they're your people. They can take care of that for you. But you got to think ahead, right? This is the kind of thing where you can't fix this problem by starting in June. You got to start now in April and May. Get it done. Have them come out and take a look. They'll figure out what your lawn needs to make it healthy, lush, and beautiful. 8 annual applications that are going to be timed and programmed and targeted to get your lawn exactly what it needs. More importantly, when it needs it. They'll do an initial soil sample, come back with amendments, figure out a plan for your specific lawn. And then you do that, and you'll have about $100 off your first lawn application with any new annual lawn program. That includes that soil sample and the lime treatment on an average-sized yard. You can find out more or sign up today at NSEC, E-N-S-E-C.net. They also have a landscape program if you'd be interested in that. That's something else that they do. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk with Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger about that not beautiful Pensacola Beach welcome sign, the toll plaza, and the turfing of the ball fields on 9 Mile.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Russia declares a 3-day ceasefire in Ukraine starting May 8th for World War II Victory Day celebrations. President Trump says he's disappointed by Russian missile strikes in Kyiv, Ukraine.
We'll see what happens over the next few days. We'll probably learn a lot.
He met Saturday with Ukraine's President Zelensky before Pope Francis's funeral in Rome. The conclave to elect a new pope starts May 7th. It's Election Day in Canada.
Canadians will decide whether or not new Prime Minister Mark Carney's Liberal Party will maintain power, or if the Conservatives under Pierre Poilievre return to power for the first time in almost a decade. Carney rushed the election up from this fall, saying he needed a strong mandate in response to President Donald Trump's tariffs.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. A man in Vancouver, Canada, is charged with murder for a car ramming attack at a Filipino festival Saturday, killing 11 people. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Beautiful morning. We've got 71 degrees right now. Clear skies this morning. A weekend fire in Fort Walton Beach displacing several residents. This happened apparently at a quadplex yesterday. The fire extended up the rear wall of that structure. 4 units affected. Crews were able to contain the fire and the damage. Residents, though, now are displaced. The good news, no injuries were reported. Family members identifying the victim of a homicide that happened late last week. Deputies found a body inside of a vehicle, and this was at a field on Courier Place and Salem Drive last Friday.
There's never a car in that field. It's just a big empty field. It's not like a road or a driveway or anywhere you park, so as soon as anybody would see it, if you lived in this neighborhood, you would be suspicious.
Channel 3 reporting the victim was 20-year-old Andrew Sanders. His mother announced his passing on social media. Sanders had been last seen about a mile away from that location. He was found in a gray Chevy Malibu, a vehicle that was not his and had no tags or identifying stickers. If you have any information, contact the Escambia Sheriff's Office. A juvenile was taken to the hospital after a water rescue on Pensacola Beach over the weekend. That happened Saturday at Casino Beach. Officials say the juvenile was transported by ambulance. Their condition is currently unknown. This comes after another drowning incident that happened last week in Navarre. There was a shooting in Fort Walton Beach, left a man dead and another injured. Okaloosa County deputies say that happened at the intersection of Shirley Drive and Mailer Street on Saturday. The shooting is still under investigation. Officials say more information on that will be released soon. Now, several people in the hospital after a hit-and-run boat crash in Clearwater involving a ferry. Investigators say it happened last night. The ferry and the boat collided into each other near the Memorial Causeway Bridge. At least 6 people were taken to the hospital. The injuries of the victims range from serious to minor. The cause of the crash is still being investigated. Last week, we learned a local cold case dating all the way back to 1989 had a big breakthrough. DNA analysis confirmed the identity of Charles Collier as a man that was found dead behind a business on Palafox Street. Investigators identified him all these years later thanks to advanced DNA testing at Othram's lab.
We sequence hundreds of thousands of markers, sometimes upwards to 1 million markers of DNA. With this new profile, it's very sensitive to relationship and relationship distance. So then we can take this profile and use it for a number of tools. We can do a one-to-one test with potential family and confirm relationships out to about a 6th cousin. Or we can use this profile for forensic genetic genealogy purposes, where you upload to databases and you can match to consented consumers who are in these databases.
That's Dr. Michael Vogan. He said traditional DNA testing is limited to around 24 markers in DNA and can only identify immediate relationships. He says the new DNA technology has led to solving at least 500 cold cases. Charles Collier's case was the 39th to be solved in the case in the state of Florida. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're still dealing with that accident on University Parkway and West Davis Highway. They've got it off to the side of the road, but we're still seeing some delays on Davis Highway, so just be aware of that. Also, Highway 90 and Spears Street over in Milton. The road is clear, but we're seeing some delays on Highway 90 as usual. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And 70 degrees right now across the area. Our next news at 8. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Senator Dave McCormick said the Trump administration is making progress toward finalizing trade deals with multiple countries. McCormick added that a number of countries have come forward with very specific proposals in the dozens, and the administration was reviewing the proposals. Numerous LGBTQ groups are facing a six-figure sponsorship deficit for their annual Pride celebrations, forcing some to modify their festival plans. Corporations mostly cite economic concerns for pulling back on sponsorships, but Pride groups also note they're seeing a hostile political climate for diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. Horror movies are often one-week wonders at the box office, but Ryan Coogler's Sinners is defying the odds. In its second weekend in theaters, it earned $45 million in ticket sales, earning the top spot at the weekend box office. Sinners has now made more than $161 million worldwide. Futures are slightly lower. On Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 486. That's your money now.
This week at Macy's, use your coupon or Macy's card and get an extra 20% off just in time for Valentine's Day. Save on top of already great deals, like 35 to 55% off dazzling diamonds, gemstones, and more. And sleek handbags and wallets from Kipling, Nine West, Inc., and more top designers, now 25% off. Plus, Star Money bonus days are going on now. Learn more at Macy's.com/StarMoney. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
I'm ready. Let me just grab my bag.
Sweatpants, huh?
Didn't know we were keeping it casual this month.
Yeah, I feel bloated every now and then.
You have to try new Align 3-in-1 Biotic Gummies. They have prebiotics to nourish good bacteria, probiotics to help relieve occasional bloating, and postbiotics for immune support.
All that in one gummy?
Yep. So no sweatpants next time?
Not anymore.
Align 3-in-1 Biotic Gummies for gut health support. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 when Brittany Hughes from Parks and Recreation will be on the show. She'll be discussing summer camps, where they're located, the cost, and how you can apply for a scholarship for your child to attend. She'll also cover deadlines to register, how to register, and will be available for you to call or text in with your questions during the show.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining me by phone, we have Ashley Hoffberger. She is the commissioner for District 4. That's the eastern half of the city of Pensacola, a little bit north of there, and then also all of the beach in Pensacola Beach. Commissioner, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Before we do any of the important stuff, how did you eat yesterday at Men Who Cook, and who had the best dish?
Oh, it was so good. So I think my favorite dish, of course, yours was phenomenal. The bites were amazing.
No, you don't. I'm just joking. You don't have to answer. It's like fine. Everything's good. It's a great event. It was good to see you yesterday. And I love it. And the Pace Center is such a great organization. All right, let's before we get into some of the like design questions around the Pensacola Beach welcome sign, let's just sort of clear the air with a couple of the quick facts. First thing, the roughly $700,000 to tear down the existing toll booth and put up some kind of a toll system, somewhere in the order of $1.5 million if that new toll system involves a decorative sign or arch or something along those lines. Is that basically right?
Okay. And the slideshow that I just sent over has some of that breakdown if you want to share that with the viewers.
Great. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I had shared some of it earlier in the day, but And there's also additional elements of this like fiber optic and restriping and better lighting and landscaping. So the total cost of the project, which is being provided in a bunch of different forms, is not all focused on just the one sign. It's really that $1.5 million. Second question, and this is just to make sure, because if having read the 400 or so comments on our Facebook page, a lot of people didn't get this. Tear down the old toll booth means install a new toll collection mechanism. We're not getting rid of the toll, right?
Correct. Great question. So the facade, and everyone was talking about, oh, well, we don't need a sign. We need something to cover up the tolling equipment. Otherwise, it's a very industrial look, and it almost looks like a Kinect set with cameras. So obviously, right. We don't want that as our welcome to Pensacola Beach. Thanks for coming. So adding some sort of artistic feature to that was the goal, not necessarily alerting people that they're at Pensacola Beach.
Right. And that's, you know, if you've ever seen how FDOT does notification signs, it's that big garish steel piping kind of, like you said, Kinect set look. And we don't want that. We definitely don't want that. The third question is, and again, this is just kind of because I know people have these questions. I just want to make sure we clear the air. How did the Innisfree logo become the preferred design?
So that's interesting. The Innisfree logo is actually a yellow sunset against a orange ombre sky. The logo that is being used is from a website that Innisfree owns, PensacolaBeach.com. So in the Wayback Time Machine, Innisfree had requested that Visit Pensacola buy PensacolaBeach.com and use it to market Pensacola Beach. At the time, Visit Pensacola said, no, we're not going to do that. So Innisfree picked up the website, purchased it, and used it to market Pensacola Beach and highlighting their properties. So when you log on to PensacolaBeach.com, unless you know specifically what properties Innisfree owns, which obviously us as a community, most of us know that. If we didn't prior to a week ago, we probably all know that now. But from the outside looking in, that website is very generic, and it almost looks municipality-owned or chamber-ran, something of that nature. So I believe what happened was whoever was designing this came across that website and from a marketing perspective thought, yes, let's keep everything cohesive. Let's put in the Pensacola Beach logo. Let's throw that on there. Let's make it all look the same for branding purposes. Obviously, when everything kind of came to, Innisfree owns the website. The logo is part of, you know, the Innisfree Corporation, not necessarily the Innisfree logo. So once we found that out, we're back at the drawing board to make sure that we provide differentiation between the website, Visit Pensacola or PensacolaBeach.com, and the actual sign itself. So we do want something that is inclusive and iconic and timeless, not something that is tied to a website that is privately owned.
Perfect, and I agree with that. And okay, so last, just kind of getting the facts out question. Honestly, I hate to ask this one, but I know people have asked this, and I'm just going to ask. The color of the sign, that kind of dark teal, is very similar to the color of the washroom, a business you own. Would you care to address the similarity in the color?
Oh, I like teal until it was beachy. I had a retro camper and it was also teal. So I'm just a fan of teal. I didn't even think about it going with the washroom. So that is a interesting perspective. Will say some of the feedback that we... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, so I didn't even think about that.
It was one of those questions that some people had asked. And I thought, well, you know, this is the way people get when they're in a contrarian frame of mind. You know what I'm saying? They'll find anything to hang their opposition
they'll
on.
They'll find anything. Yeah. Yeah, I think that, I mean, if you look at the beach and the water and the waves, a lot of that is teal. Like, teal is just a very beachy color.
Right.
Some of the feedback that we received that we're working on putting into the sign was it does need more color. Maybe it needs a pop of orange. Specifically, somebody said sherbet orange. I'm thinking, okay, well, that really goes. So we are working on a rendering that has a little bit more color. It also has the letters beach bigger, so
more prominent, yeah.
And beach would be the same size. Yeah, so great feedback that we received, and we're actually hoping to have an updated rendering out this week. Someone also recommended kind of tying it to the beach ball colors and then the sign at the foot of the bridge going to Pensacola Beach, the Pensacola Beach sign, and making it more like that, which I love that. We just have to be careful because those are very primary colors for it not to look like a kindergarten classroom.
Right.
So the question is, how do we keep it looking good and bright and tying to those without it looking too elementary? So we are working on that.
Okay, so that's all great news, but we have more input. I just want to, I'm going to take a real quick traffic break. We'll be back with Ashley Hoffberg in a second. The question I want you to mull over is, it seems like the main objection people have is when they, if they don't like it, okay, which I did not like it, or worse, is what can we do to get this amazing community of local artists involved? Every other opportunity we have for public art seems to go through a submission and a selection process, and then we get something that we can at least all like, if not love. Maybe that's the way to go. We'll come back to Ashley Hoffberger for an answer to that question in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 is starting to see some major delays through that construction zone, so plan an extra 10 to 15 minutes associated with that. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So, Commissioner Hoffberger, the question that I hear a lot and that I read on our Facebook page a lot is, why didn't we have public input? Why don't we go through a process of submissions, selections, top three? It doesn't necessarily have to have public voting, but it should have something where we can really look at the alternatives and say, we've picked something that we love, whether that's a green base. Maybe it would have turtles on it. Maybe it would have dolphins on it. Maybe it would have, you know, turtle style amber lighting at night for accent, but similar to the turtle friendly stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities, but why not a process that we would go through? Might take a little while, might take a month or two, instead of the, well, you know, the commissioner's going to pick and we're going to do what we do.
Great question. So, and this was one of those things, it was, we decided to make a decision with the general design and move forward and then allow people to email us their comments, email us their input. If we would have done an actual public meeting, there's several notices that you have to go through. Those have to be ran a certain way, and it would have actually pushed us because we only want to do physical work on the project in the off season, obviously, because you don't want to be driving to the beach 4th of July weekend. And, you know, we've got lane closures. That's not good for anybody. So with those timelines, having an actual meeting or two would have pushed it to where it wouldn't have been completed by summer of 2026. It also makes it very hard for families who are working or single parents or maybe people who are holding down two jobs to go to those meetings. So we felt as though allowing people to comment on Facebook, us evaluate those, or send us, like we requested through several media outlets, to email us your comments, it allowed more people in the community to be more involved. So we really want to, and it, you know, it's using technology, right? Like, so email us your comments. We've got a record of all of that. I've responded to every email personally that has came in, whether it's a friendly email or a not friendly email. So I really do want people to know that we are paying attention to those. And then as far as putting it out to local artists, we have so many talented folks in the area. Part of that was we do have to go through a RFP process. And so we do have to be careful how we select those. There are certain state statutes and things that govern that. Obviously, anybody that submits something, they have to be compensated for that. And so that part gets a little hairy when you're a municipality trying to solicit design work.
Well, so here's my suggestion. OK, you know, obviously you're the commissioner. You were elected. My suggestion would be I can live with it taking an extra year. I mean, I want the thing to be done. I want it to be cost effective. But this is going to be a 50-year project in the sense that we're going to still be looking at this in 50 years. And so we want something that's really amazing. And if that takes pushing it back to being completed by summer of 2027, I can live with that rather than having something that we don't all love. And to me, the best way to get something that we do love and that we do all believe in and that the community feels like they bought into is let's do a submission process. You know, the city did this very effectively with the Pelican sign. We got an amazing thing there. And so that seems to be the way.
It's interesting you bring that up because the Pelican sign, I love it. It's beautiful. I think it's iconic. I think it's going to be a great fixture to tie Pensacola Beach to the bridge and to downtown and really make that a beautiful corridor. But there are still people who hate that sign or they think that was a bad decision or that was a dumb location. Obviously, that's not me. I just said it was a great piece. But with design work and art in general is very subjective to whoever is viewing it. And, you know, if you can barely agree on a house or a color to paint your house with your wife or yourself,
of
right?
Course.
So the idea that the whole community isn't going to agree on one thing and think that, okay, this is absolutely the best and 100% of us agree is, I don't think that's a very practical idea.
Okay, so it sounds to me like you're still opposed to having any kind of a submission process. It's really still going to be you guys picking?
So we are, like I said, we are asking people to email us your suggestions, email us your recommendations. And then I know P&J just read an article. This is going to be a two-part process. So I have a meeting today to see exactly what those two parts are. So I don't know if that's going to be more around the end product and the design of the arch itself, or if it's going to be the landscaping. So some of that will be coming. But again, if you have ideas, send them in. I've had people say, hey, this is, you know, we should do Pelican Purchase on the side, and this is what it would look like. And they sent me an AI rendering. So absolutely send those in. So just because we don't have pictures from you to pick from doesn't mean that we're not open to suggestions and recommendations, because we are 100% are.
And if artists want to submit something, same thing. And this would be what, District 4, the number 4 at MayaScambia.com?
Absolutely. And like I said, I have responded to all of those emails personally, and it is District4@MayaScambia.com.
Very good. The other thing that I wanted to talk with you briefly about was the $25 million plan to put turf on the 9 Mile ball fields in the effort of generating tourism by being able to host tournaments. We had a very involved discussion about this the other day. I was surprised because I don't really know this topic all that well. I coached one kickball here, t-ball there kind of thing. But John, my producer, who coached for 10 years, his kids and Little League and other people texted and said, they are not believers in turf. They don't believe this will be the miracle tourism draw. They host ball games at Para in Santa Rosa County that has regular fields. And they say instead we could spend a lot less money if we could just improve drainage, improve amenities, and, you know, maybe do some sodding or something like that for a much lower price tag, given that $25 million is a lot of money and is really just a swag at this point, right? Like, that's just they measured the fields and they did a rough math. They didn't do an RFP or anything, so we don't really know that it's going to be $25 million. And also concerns about safety that, you know, even though some people love turf, some people really can't stand turf. The heat in the summer, it's very difficult to plan and so forth. So I know you're on the council and you voted for this, but these concerns seem pretty significant to me, and I didn't hear a lot of those raised in the conversation. It seemed like we approved $25 million pretty quickly. Have you talked with people who are contrary on this project at all and heard from them?
So we actually had a great conversation at that board meeting. Councilwoman Brayer brought up the science behind how the turf is manufactured and sure. how it could be a negative impact on the environment. And the head of our parks department actually spoke to that. So the turf that we're going with is more environmentally friendly. It is heat resistant. So, and I know that people have this for their dogs too, right? So their dogs can walk around on the AstroTurf and it not burn their paws. So a similar manufacturing process from what I'm being told on that side of it. And the idea of having turf over the regular sod is we have so many of those pop-up rain showers. And the most important part is that the people who visit our community are able to get their tournaments in. So with the AstroTurf, after the rain shower's gone, they can get back out on the field and they can continue to play. And there's also less downtime between the games
sure.
because the fields don't have to be prepped as much. So those tournaments, you can actually have more games at one location. Is what I was told as far as
I agree with all of that. I'm just saying the people who are critical of this choice are saying we can still get the tournament's in. We can still take care of the kids, and even with, you know, the questions about the heat or the PFAS or anything like that, still turf carries, you know, risks. Injury level is higher on turf because of the nature of the thing. And all I'm asking is, it didn't seem like that slice of contrary thinking had been represented in the meeting, the ones who really say, we don't actually need it for this price tag. We can do something that's effectively the same by improving those. Because the fields need improving. Nobody argues that. They're terrible fields. The question is, can we get the end result of better fields without having to invest $25 million? That was the question. And I just, I hadn't
right.
heard
and
that.
I think that's
Go ahead.
A good question. Absolutely think that's a good question. You also have to look at who we're competing with. So there are other communities on the Gulf Coast who have similar ballparks. This one would really set ours apart. So the idea is ours is prettier, ours is better. We're on the beach. We're a 20-minute drive from Pensacola Beach. So all of these things would add into bringing in more games and being a superior place to play compared to the surrounding areas.
Well, I look forward to the conversation. Is that going to be on Thursday? Is that on the agenda for Thursday?
I don't know if that one is or not. I think there were still some details that they were trying to work out that okay. I will absolutely check.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking forward to the agenda because there's a lot of stuff the TDC spent, what, like $36 million or recommended. So lots of things
that
could.
Yeah,
it was a big spend day.
$12
million yeah. an hour, not too bad. Ashley Hoffberger, she is the commissioner for District 4. Ashley, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for answering my questions and, you know, responding to people and being, you know, open to some alternatives, especially with that sign. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, and you have a great day.
Of course. 7:56 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No new accidents to report to you right now. Just seeing some delays on Highway 29 as you approach I-10. Burgess Road, both east and west directions, seeing some delays, too. Also in front of West Florida Hospital due to that earlier accident around Jackson Avenue, we're seeing some delays both north and southbound. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My son bought a Miata. Did I tell you this story? My son bought an old Miata. Yeah, no. My wife had a 90, I think, back in the day, and he just bought a 92. So he's reliving mild sports car enthusiasm. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, it is a fun car to drive, though.
The Vatican announcing today that the conclave, the process to select a new pope, will start on May 7th. Members of the College of Cardinals under age 80 are allowed to vote. The winner will have to be selected by a two-thirds majority. The number of confirmed cases of the measles in the U.S. is now nearly 900. The CDC says that's already tripled the number of cases reported last year. Over 650 of those cases are in Texas. And comedian Benny Elbows apparently has managed to do a 40-hour stand-up comedy marathon, which may have set a new world record. It was a live-streamed event in Memphis, and apparently he crossed the 40-hour mark on Saturday night. That performance is awaiting official certification from the Guinness Book of World Records.
Well, my first thought was, there's nobody who can be funny for 40 hours. And my second thought was, I bet it was funnier than Cory Booker. by a lot, by a wide margin. Did you see Cory Booker is now like doing a sit-in or something at the, was it the White House or something, or the Capitol, or, okay, all right. Maybe he needs a day job. What do you mean he has one? Does he? Well, how does he have so much time to do stuff like this? PR stunts. Oh, he's running for president. Oh. Okay, so this is laying the groundwork to be known so that he's up from 3%.
Local talk in the